This morning, brothers and sisters, we open the Word of God in Psalm 124. Psalm 124 is our scripture passage, and our focal point will be the last verse of that psalm, verse 8. Psalm 124, a song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men arose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. These words, brothers and sisters, are very familiar to us as the so-called votum at the beginning of our worship services. It's our confession of dependence. Our vow, literally. Using these words of Psalm 124, verse 8. Yes, God's people may make this confession with the sure guarantee that His help is theirs indeed. God, our covenant Lord, the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, will help. That's our covenantal confession. In the same manner, beloved, our Reformed churches have organized their entire liturgy in such a covenantal fashion. God speaks and His people respond. God brings His greeting and His people respond with a song of praise and adoration. God speaks His law and His people sing in response. God's word is opened, expounded, and proclaimed in the sermon, and the people respond. Yes, throughout the service, this confession of dependence is also repeated in their congregational prayers. Even the whole day of worship is set up in the same covenantal way. In the morning, the preaching has a text of Scripture as focal point. God speaks. While in the afternoon, God's people learn to respond. We have our focal point in the Heidelberg Catechism by which we echo the Word of God. The covenant assembly learns to respond in its profession of faith. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. With this confession, we begin our worship services, beloved, and with this declaration, we also begin this new year, this first Lord's Day service of the year of the Lord, 2021. It's not a prayer, but a confession. It's a declaration on the basis of God's word. It's an expression of confidence and trust, a testimony of thankfulness founded in the promises of God, rooted in the experience with the Lord as covenant God. We know we can count on it. Hence, we may expect all the help we need from the Lord our God. We worship together in His name, as covenant assembly, be that today in a virtual manner, but nevertheless united in faith. And we trust in his name. The Lord Jesus reiterated this too, where he said that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among you. Matthew 18, verse 20. Hence, the Church of Jesus Christ has been making this profession for hundreds of years already, and we still begin our worship service with this confession of our assurance. It is the basis of our covenant walk with the Lord. It is the ground for a life in dependence upon the Lord, in which we move on into the future, into a new year, confidently. That's then also the message I wish to proclaim to you in this first Lord's Day service of the year 2021. The Lord is our great helper. He was in the past, he is in the future. That's how I would like to summarize the message of this morning. The Lord is our great helper. He was in the past, he is in the future. So first of all, the Lord was our great helper in the past. Psalm 124, brothers and sisters, is one of the songs of ascent. The people of Israel sang these psalms on their way to Jerusalem. David is mentioned as the author of the psalm. He may have composed this song in a certain situation, yet it's hard to determine in what situation he found himself when he wrote the psalm. In David's years as king, there have been so many situations in which he had to deal with enemies who desired the death of God's people. It may be better, therefore, to assume that David had a general situation in mind, since it happened so often in Israel's history, and it would happen again and again, that Israel was confronted with similar dangers. When David confesses, beloved, that the help of God's people is in the name of the Lord, he refers to the covenant relationship in which he stands with the Lord. Yahweh is God's covenant name. God, the maker of heaven and earth, wants to have a bond with his people. The Lord gave this name to his people, Israel, so that they would know him as the Lord who was there for his people. He also made himself a name among them by his many acts of deliverance, his deeds of power. Yes, he wanted them to worship him in the place he himself had established for his name, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 12. In this place, he reminded them of the richest meaning of his name. He made his known to Moses when he passed before him on the mountain and explained his name. I am gracious and merciful, compassionate, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. Hence, in the Old Testament service of atonement, he showed his name in all its glory and greatness. When Israel, therefore, went up to Jerusalem in anticipation of this service in God's temple, the place where the Lord established his name, they also did so in the confidence that the Lord would be the one who helped them, kept them, and protected them on their often dangerous journey. Hence, with Psalm 121 also, they would express, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. These words, who made heaven and earth, brothers and sisters, we find in three of the Psalms of Ascent. Not only 121 and 124, as I mentioned already, but also Psalm 134. Thus, the worshipper confesses the greatness of the Lord, his almighty power compared to whatever may seem powerful and overwhelming here on earth. His glory is in his grace and mercy. And he blesses his people from Zion, Psalm 134. He does so in all his greatness and power as maker of heaven and earth. Melchizedek already confessed these greatness and power in his blessing of Abraham, acknowledging that God, the maker of heaven and earth, was the God of Abraham, the Lord who had made Abraham his own. Genesis 14, verse 19. Later on also, Hezekiah made a powerful confession of the same when he lay the shameful letter from Sennacherib, the general of Assyria, before the Lord and said, 2 Kings 19, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. And again, we see the combination of God's covenant name, the Lord, established above the cherubim in the Holy of Holies, where the high priest brought the blood of atonement year after year, and the confession that he is the maker of heaven and earth. Well, it still is this powerful confession, beloved, at the beginning of our worship service of God, by which we place our service on such a high level of awe, of confidence and trust. With it, however, we do not only confess the Lord's faithfulness and greatness, we also confess our own dependence. We trust that we will be helped on the basis of this great name of the Lord. We know who he is, the Lord. We know how often and how well he has helped. The Lord made himself a name that way. He is our great helper. On this basis, we trust that he will also help us time and time again. Now, that's not an expression of humiliation. That would be the case only if and when we would first try to do things in our own strength, try it our own way. And when it doesn't work, go to the Lord for help. Then the worshipper would come in a sense of defeat and would cry for help as a last resort. That happens, indeed. And it shows again and again that the Lord is not some first aid in emergency situations. No, our confession at the beginning of our service expresses that he is our help right away and always. Every second of our life, we need to be carried by the Lord. Now, that's what our text denotes, beloved. It's a summary at the end of this psalm, which has become a confession of faith and trust. It's an expression of thanksgiving and praise which David wants to leave in the singer's heart and mind as the powerful refrain to a song on the Lord's help and salvation in the life of his people. In his song, David is looking back to the past, at that occasion in which his people were attacked. David compares the enemies with a bunch of wild animals, devouring monsters who had almost swallowed them up alive. They were so many that they had become like a wild river. The way they can come down a mountain with meltwater or after a heavy rainstorm, like mudslides or destructive tsunamis. Everything is taken along. That's how Israel has been run underfoot. Yes, that's also how God's people had been dragged along after David's days by superpowers like Assyrians and Babylonians. Yet, they were delivered by the Lord. By the power of God, the maker of heaven and earth, they had escaped from their enemies. They escaped, David says, beloved, like a bird out of a fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we escaped. Now, such a fowler's snare was like a trap with a lure in it. And we should realize as well that more often than not, the Israelites had stepped into this trap themselves by their own fault, before and after David's days. They did not trust in the Lord, but found help and support with heathen nations like Egypt and Assyria. They put their trust in the power of men or in the great numbers, rather than trusting the Lord, their great helper. These nations, however, were enemies. Yes, they were not only a trap politically, but also spiritually. Many of the Israelites fell victim to the spiritual lure and attractions of Babylon, where they had assimilated with the world around them. They had become of one spirit with the godless culture of Babylon. Hence, it only shows the greatness of the Lord's compassion and grace when he did allow them to escape and return to their own land. The Lord is a merciful God who kept the way to the future open. A remnant would be saved. In his grace, he kept a way open to Bethlehem. Christ was born. And to Golgotha, where he did make atonement. Now it is this acknowledgement of guilt, this confession of dependence, brothers and sisters, which David puts on the lips of God's people. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, they would have swallowed us up alive. We would have been swept away. They have to repeat this confession. They have to continue to see it that way. We have been saved. We have been delivered. We have been spared. We have escaped. The Lord came to our rescue. The Lord is our great helper. That's not just true in David's experience or in Israel's history. We see it throughout the history of the church that God's people are threatened, attacked, and swept along with the times, with the spirit of the age. Time and time again, there are the traps in the way. Not always of the same kind, not always by the same people, and not always laid down with evil intentions. Yet, the enemy who is behind it is the same. Then we also see the Lord of the church time and time again, the Son of God who made his life's calling of the salvation of his church. He did so in situations of which David spoke. He did so especially when he came as man on earth to conquer and defeat the enemy. After his ascension into heaven too, he broke many a fowler's snare and delivered from many an enemy, in one reformation after another. Even to this day, however, we have seen our Savior and Redeemer in his great help for his church. What rich comfort and what great power, therefore, beloved, the words of our text mean to us as Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, collectively and individually. Indeed, as I already indicated, these words are found in Psalm 121, where they encourage the individual pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, seeking the help of the Lord in order to overcome the dangers and difficulties of his journey to Jerusalem. As illustration of these dangers, think, for instance, of the description in Psalm 66. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. In Psalm 134, these same words denote the grace and mercy of our covenant God, who has become our help and our salvation through the work of atonement proclaimed in the temple. In our text, we find it as a concluding confession, our profession of dependence, also at the beginning of our worship service, because it is the experience of God's people Israel and of every believer that the Lord is their great helper, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, does that mean, beloved, that he always grants escape? That there is always a way out of trouble? Always healing? No. The Lord does allow for trouble, for war, for breakdowns, for cancer, for death in the lives of his children. Yet, if he is for us, who will be against us? With him is escape, even through death. Isn't that how Daniel's three friends expressed it before the king was about to throw them into the furnace? The God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, he still preserves us. And the Apostle Paul expressed the same in that beautiful word in Romans 8, where he assures us that neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He is our great helper. He was in the past, and he is in the future. Our second point, the Lord is our great helper in the future. The Lord is able to help, brothers and sisters. He has helped, and he will surely help. That's been the weekly refrain in the Church of Christ. Since John Calvin restored this practice, we have been maintaining this confession to this day, while Calvin showed how at least 500 years earlier in the history of the church, this was the practice. When we confess, however, that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, we do so in entirely different circumstances today. When we say it, we are not thinking of enemies coming at us like devouring monsters, or of an army that is approaching like a wild river. Yet, at bottom, it's still the same. We are living in a godless culture, and before you know it, you are dragged along by a rampant materialism, consumerism, secularization, etc., and often by our own fault. We are living in the midst of a spiritual warfare, and when we observe the statistics and see the developments in the Western culture, we need to brace ourselves for a Muslim invasion in the decades to come. Yet, although we need to be aware and arm ourselves, we may still say it with the church of all times, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. We have a great helper, beloved, and that is the message I may proclaim to you with a view to the new year, to the future, come what may. You may say this personally as you wonder what your situation will be like in this new year. This may be a situation with health concerns, pain management, business tensions, family problems, or whatever form the brokenness of life takes on in your life. When God is so for you, He won't keep all evil away from your life. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, Paul also observes. There might be trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. Yet, we may hold on to this firm confession, we have a great helper. What great blessing that is when you can say that in confidence and assurance of faith. What great security it gives you in a world that lacks every form of security. Your help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Indeed, beloved, in this world we find no security. We can make up a list quite easily of problems, dangers, worries, troubles, and sorrows in this veil of tears. We know, says Paul in Romans 8, verse 22, that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Well, even the pains of childbirth hold out a promise to us. There still is so much to be expected for creation and for the children of God. There is hope, because both will be brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God when God will make all things new. The Lord will not let go of His plans, of the work of His hands. When God is so for us, who or what could be against us? Yes, then we should not be against each other either. Paul speaks of that too in his epistle to the Galatians. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Galatians 5, verse 15. What David is saying about enemies can happen in the congregation too, or in the families, or in marriage. People can be worse than rats or wild animals sometimes. Though animals just follow their instinct, while people know better, especially those who have the word and will of God. We have to hold on to this confession with a view to all the dangers and problems and troubles in the church and in this world. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. As child of God, my brother and my sister, purchased by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you may live with this confession as your only comfort. Every day, it will be your faith in your God, whom you never saw, that gives you strength and security, for in Jesus Christ, He is the center of your life. Every day, this will be your hope in your God. While you won't know what the future will bring, still knowing that what God does, He does in His good pleasure for those who love Him and will turn everything to their benefit. Every day, it will be your love that makes you reach out to God. Seek His help and guidance, even though you know how weak your love is. Yet you may be assured that God loves you in Jesus Christ. Every day it will be a life in which you confess your dependence upon the Lord. Then you will see that Christ's love determines your life and that God does what He promised. You may count on that through thick and through thin. Confess it, therefore, personally and collectively. Our help is in the name of the Lord. He made heaven and earth, you know. So what could there be in which He cannot help you? Guess what? Amen.